Phil wrote Bender equals Golem. I liked that you said, you wrote here, Bender is to fold. So we talked before about folding the tree. In the show, he actually, that's, he's programmed to be a bender, like very literally, like his job is to fold I-beams, actually, to bend steel
Get
girders.
out of here.
So there you have that. But it's also a play on he's an alcoholic, so he always smoking cigars. He actually operates on alcohol is his power source, is he has to drink alcohol.
He's always a
So
bender.
of course, you know, you have this Vegas, addictive personality play here with to fold the enfoldment. I want to look up. There's a thing I had heard on a thing of cracks in the wall. A thing from Steve Wilner and a guy who does it goes by the name Will 777.
That guy's
They did a
insane, man.
podcast called Cracks in the Wall, and they play with this idea that Vegas is actually a play on the vagus nerve, that it's actually it's like a representation of a part of the human body, VAGUS.
I always thought of it as Vega, the star
Right,
Vega.
right. Which of course is the movie Contact is based off 2001: A Space Odyssey. Is they get their transmission from Vega.
Right. And then I think of Vincent Vega in Pulp Fiction and the fact that he goes to, when she says, don't be a square, and she draws a fucking square, and they go to Jack Rabbit Slim's.
Yes, of course, back to the rabbit.
Right. So I don't know. And then Lepus. So you have the constellation Lepus and its relationship to the dog star Sirius, being that it's right by Canis. And which is also right by Orion. Is it so? You have, isn't that right? You have Orion above, who is the hunter. Is that
Yeah,
correct?
it's yeah, correct.
So he's right there. So he has like his hunting dog, and then you have the rabbit, like your hunting.
Well,
Anyway,
I want you
yeah.
to consider that we were talking all about like the wandering eye and the and of course all about being left breathless. It says here, looking at the Wikipedia page for vagus nerve, the medieval Latin word vagus means literally wandering. The words vagrant, vagabond, and vague come from the same root. The vagus is also called the pneumomagastric nerve since it innervates both the lungs and the stomach.
Oh, what's crazy, this whole X thing has been, my last blog is just loaded with the whole X deal. It's because the Wheel of Fortune being 10, right, which is a Roman numeral X, and that you have King Kong who climbs the Empire State Building. The same people who did King Kong did Mighty Joe Young, where he gets crushed by a wheel.
A
What do you call
Ferris
it?
wheel.
The giant, the Ferris wheel. And then I was also thinking of Ferris Bueller, who stars in Project X.
Bear in mind,
So
I
as,
just want to
yeah.
make the point that the Ferris wheel is also called a Catherine wheel. And when I'm talking about this idea of the Catherine wheel as the wheel of the Tarot or the Hathor, like the old adage, the wheel of the Tarot speaks the law of the goddess Hathor. I'm re-scrambling that to be it's the Ator Rota or the Hathor wheel, the Catherine wheel, it's the same thing. To me, this is very central.
Yeah, absolutely. Abso-fucking-lutely. So, very strange. The words King Kong, King and Kong are the same, except one has a one and one has an O or an I as King. But the way that it's spelled, you shown, you see a one and a zero, which would be 10, which would be the X. X marks the spot, for Indiana Jones and where is he? Not Vienna. Where's the, is that Vienna? Where's the place with where all the roads are water, in
Venice?
Europe? Where is it? Venice. Right. So,
or Venus.
Anyways, whatever.
I always like to think that Venice and Venus, you know.
Well, that's where I was going with it, is that Venus is the throat center. So Venus, in terms of where things are attributed. So that was the deal with the Empress being in between Bina and Chokhmah, is she, the Empress, is as Dalit connects that, and then that's green, and then that's the throat center. So it's interesting, like the vagus nerve here. So you have vagus and then you have Venus. It's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of interesting.
Absolutely. And something that I've actually been working into the book is the idea that, so King Kong, who also not only climbs up the Empire State Building, but in the 1976 version, he climbs the World Trade Center. King Kong, so in Chinese, Kong is zero. It means empty. So you have this essentially the king kill, right? Because he falls from the World Trade Center. Strength is Beauty and the Beast, which in Hebrew is Oz. So at the bottom of the World Trade Center, you have the sphere, which in the movie is.
Wait a minute. How is Beauty and the Beast and
strength.
Strength.
So all right, Beauty right. and the Beast on the strength card.
There we go. Duh.
Right.
Theater.
The beauty
okay.
is overpowering is taming the beast. It's the card
right.
is strength. In Hebrew, strength is Oz.
Right.
So the idea that at the base of the World Trade Center in the movie The Wiz, they literally place Oz and they put the word OZ on the sphere at the base of the World Trade Center. So where the beast falls when Beauty tames the beast, he literally falls into the Oz sphere. So it's literally right. enacting strength. So the idea that Kong means empty or zero, here you have the killed king. King Kong, by his very name, is the empty king. Maybe the king, you know, we could take that a number of ways, but I also think of it as the wheel. If it's there zero, this is the wheel.
Right.
This is the zero point energy. This is the womb. This is the high priestess card who is sitting between the two towers.
Well, it's also the king of the jungle, right? And it's Leo.
Yes.
The card is ruled by Leo, which is the sun, which is the beast.
Yes, exactly. And
so, and then that's also the tower. So you have the Tower of Babel is also representative of that sphere.
Right. And if you look, to me, the lion is huge, because not only does the lion ride with the Horus constellations, half the reason we see them together is Leo, but we also have any number of ways. So you have that Osama means lion. We have that in masonry, the way that Hiram Abiff is raised, this is, you know, the raising of the dead Osiris is with the lion's grip, the lion's paw grip. So you have the lion is very central there. You even have, there was an old conspiracy theory about what was called Project Lucifer, which is basically the plot of 2001/2010, the idea of igniting the second sun. And this old conspiracy theory had the idea that when these, you know, satanic, Luciferian, Illuminati, blah, 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 were going to ignite Saturn into a second sun, they were going to do it when it was so positioned that the constellation of Leo, the right paw of what's called Rho Leo, was so positioned that it would light up as if the lion was grasping the second sun to prove that they had this power. This is an old conspiracy theory you can look up called Project Lucifer.
Okay. There's something huge, Alan, that I wanted to put forward in terms of, I know we were looking before at the idea of the rider on the storm, and we were looking at the night and all of that. Well, I was looking through Kaplan's Sefer Yetzirah, and I find this. So, as the verse continues, this takes place through the skies known as the Shachikam. I'd have to see it in Hebrew. He wrote it in English. This term always refers to the two Sefirot, Netzach and Hod, and are the Sefirot indwelled in the prophecy and inspiration. Then he says, oh, wait a minute, where am I? Okay, I have to go back. Moses begins calling by God the rider of the heavens. This word rider, Rokev, is closely related to Merkabah, which is the star, right? The mystical chariot that is the essence of the mystical experience. The concept of riding involves traveling and leaving one's natural place. When Moses said that God rides the heavens, it means that he leaves his natural state where he is absolutely unknowable and inconceivable and allows himself to be visualized in a mystical vision. Okay, cut to just a couple paragraphs away. Here he says, in another very significant teaching, the Talmud states that the spirit, Ruach, depends on the storm wind, Sa'ara, and in the storm wind hangs from the arms of God. This is also based on the verse, from under the arms of the universe. The storm wind, Sa'ara, however, was the first manifestation of Ezekiel's vision, as he says, I looked and behold a storm wind coming out of the north. The storm wind relates to the stormy state and consciousness that precedes the true mystical experience, which is called spirit or ruach. The Talmud states that the state of Sa'ara, which is the gateway to the mystical experience, depends on the arms of the universe. One attains this state when one meditates on the infinities of the diagonal boundaries and the permutations of tetragrammaton associated with them.
Is this the same vision that where Ezekiel sees the wheel within the wheel?
Probably, but here this, okay, in the text here, we see that the ordering of the 12 diagonal boundaries begins with the east and ends with the north. Since the last direction upon which one meditates is the north, Ezekiel saw the storm wind coming from the north. The state of storm wind, as well as the great cloud and flashing fire seen by Ezekiel, are the forces of the evil husks, the klipa, which must be breached before one can enter into the mysteries. The passage in Deuteronomy therefore concludes, he drives the enemy from before you, since after contemplating the arms of the universe, one encounters the enemy, the klipa. Moses had to promise that God would drive this force away and allow one to enter unharmed. Now, the strength card in tarot was referred to originally as force.
Yes.
And then you have the force. In Star Wars, it's of the universe, right? And so you have this really interesting idea here that God rides the heavens, you know, rider on the storm, literally, and that we are all riders on the storm is actually in Fear and Loathing when he's on the wheel, when he's on the moving bar.
The merry-go-round from Catching the Rye.
Not in the scene where the attorney is trying to get off necessarily, but later on when he goes back for the monkey, he returns because he's like, let's get down to brass tacks here. How much for the ape? And then he says the ape bit the head of the bartender and the cops came and cuffed him and took him away. He came for the ape and then shouts out, we're all riders on the storm, as the people are fucking banging on his car and breaking coconuts with a hammer, or he's breaking a coconut with a hammer on the fucking... Like, I don't know if you remember that, but he shouts out, we're all riders on the storm, meaning that we're all God, first of all, and that we're all, the storm is the cleat boat, which is the shell, that the husk that surrounds the thing. But he's breaking a fucking coconut, which is a husk.
Yes.
Open, right? Says that.
Yes. Wow. Now, do you take, there's the idea that the Exodus story of the column of cloud is a version of the Shekinah?
Yeah, that's pretty much agreed upon by people.
Right.
Yeah.
So this idea that this sort of rider on the storm it would be the same. You know, obviously you're seeing it as both the klipo and but it could also be a rider of that column of cloud. The again, it's two sides of the same coin, right?
Right. Well, there's also the cloud that the Israelites follow through the desert for 40 years, that they get they receive manna, right? Which is this food that's supposed to be like this bread stuff, and it's how they stayed alive in the middle of the desert. But the word manna actually literally translates to what is it? It is a question. The word is
a
question.
Isn't it like they don't white morning dew?
Right, but the word itself means what is it? The actual meaning
Holy
of
shit.
The word.
There was an Olympic mascot from a few years ago called What Is It? Yeah.
Oh, really?
Because, I have to.
What's it? It was like What's It or something like that, and he could morph and become anything or
like
something for all the different
bizarre
sports.
Fucking mascot.
Something very Epcot about it.
And now their mascot is a singular-eyed thing. And for this whole fucking conversation, I've been playing with a MIB toy, which is the bottom half of this character that you open up. And there's an eyeball that if you squeeze the legs together, its eye spins around. I've been, like, spinning this eye for, like, this whole fucking conversation. It's just two legs with an eye. And now their mascot is, like, that didn't even occur to me.
Here we go. The 1996 Atlanta Summer Olympics. The mascot named What Is It?
Jesus, what? Man.
Weird. And he's all crazy. And now the one is a single-eyed entity. What the fuck are they doing, dude? They're insane. I mean, we're insane, too, but what the fuck? Wow.
Wait.
So, in the desert, they...
Media ridicule here on the Wikipedia page. Despite continued efforts to evolve his look, Izzy proved very unpopular. A range of nicknames appeared in media outlets, such as the Sperm in Sneakers. And of course, because when you're thinking of mana from heaven, it was this white morning dew, which is very much like heavenly semen.
Yeah. So what's this deal with Dingbats, the board game, connected to this? So it says, see Dingbats for the puzzle game known in America as What's It or What's It. Oh, so it was originally called Dingbats, which is the fucking bats in the desert. He's like these goddamn bats with the fucking fly swatter. I wanted to buy a fly swatter yesterday, thinking about that scene for I'm going on a little road trip here, and I wanted to bring a fly swatter along. I was like, goddamn bats! It's called Dingbats. It's kind of weird.
Are you gonna bring the ether too, or what is it?
Dingbats is the name of a board game that was devised by Paul Sellers and is currently manufactured by Ravensburger. The game for two or more people involves solving Rubik's puzzles in which a common word or saying hidden in a cryptic or otherwise unique arrangement of symbols. It is very similar to the UK United States game show Catchphrase, although Dingbats puzzles are generally considerably tougher and rely far less on non-technographic.
P. Sellers? The game was devised by P. Sellers, who of course...
Paul Sellers, but you can take it as Peter Sellers, yeah. And then you have... Yeah. Yeah.
The thing about the cloud in the desert, I didn't know that they followed a cloud.
Yeah, they followed like a storm cloud type thing, a spinning thing, which they say is they take that as the Shekinah in mystical.
Okay, so the newest evolution out of the Apple is the iCloud, right? The storage space in the sky, so that if life comes by and destroys your laptop, you don't lose any of your information because it's stored in the cloud.
Oh, weird.
So, well, so the cloud is formed, you know, I mean, it seems as though we've been in a sort of exodus since 9/11, that there is a certain amount of wandering going on, that there is this cloud, this wireless network that some people are following. I don't know, man.
You know, they take the 12 tribes as being the 12 diagonal boundaries of the Tree of Life, and that those are the boundaries of space. So that it's they take it as partially like it's a dual thing where it's a metaphor, and they model the thing after a reality of their understanding of the dynamics of the vacuum. So
there's the mother letters, the double letters, and then there's the single letters in the Hebrew alphabet?
Right.
And so there's 12 single letters, and those are the zodiac?
Well, see, this is where it gets weird, is because with I mean, it's not Kaplan who did it, but it's Kaplan who points it out. I think it's the Ari, that basically they have a whole different set of attributions of the letters to the tree because of that. So they look at how many diagonals, how many straight ones, and how many vertical ones, and then they attach the letters based on that because of the mothers and the doubles. And yeah, so but then there's also, you know, you can look at it, there's the serpent letters as well. So you have Samech is a serpent letter, Shin is a serpent letter, and Mem is a serpent letter, and they have this kind of weird I don't know symbolism of that. I think Tet might be the other one. So maybe it's not Shin. I forget. I'd have to look it up again. Because Tet, I know, is actually a serpent letter, which I thought was interesting because that's strength.
Did
so
Tet offensive bring us back to Vietnam?
Tet?
Wasn't it the Tet offensive, offensive? T-E-T? Was a Vietnamese holiday,
right?
Tet?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Weird. Huh. Well, I mean, yeah, that's a Hebrew letter, you'd say Tet, like, it's usually spelled with an H, I guess, you know, because it's, you have, I think it's Tav at the end, maybe, I'd have to look it up, but, because there's two T's in Hebrew, there's Tav and there's Tet. Tav is the one equated with the universe card, right, which is the cross. So the Tav cross, you know, where you have just the, which is what the serpent is hung from. So that gets interesting because you have Tet, which is a serpent letter, which corresponds to strength and Crowley's lust and originally force. And then you have the other T actually represents cross. So you have like a serpent and a cross are the two T's. Kind of strange.
Is there any way that the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet are, how it's, is it ever expanded into 26? Is there any connection between 26 and the Hebrew alphabet? I mean,
26 is the value of Adonai. So,
okay.
or literally tetragrammaton equals 26. So if you do the gematria of tetragrammaton, you have 26, which came up recently with THX 1138. So if you do this thing where basically I was looking at THX, where if you flip it on itself, just
that was brilliant, for sure.
THX, you end up with the Star of David. But then when you add them together, let me go to my blog, see if I can find it really quick. You end up with 26 with particular. So which I showed this to my rabbi. And he thought it was awesome. But it's funny because, you know, you have George Lucas, his father was a minister, you know, and he traveled all around the world. So he was raised with some, you know, some stuff, and we don't know the full degree of it. My sister actually had his sister as a teacher in Christian school. So let me see here. Miss Myers. So they married into the Myers family, but it is his sister who changed her name, and she would talk about it. I got her autograph in my Star Wars book when I was a little kid. It's kind of funny.
Score, man. Because the trumps of the tarot are 22 in number, but you can almost reduce the tarot into 26 because what is it in the ace of every suit includes every card of that suit? Is that what it is? So like if you have the four aces and the 22 trumps, you actually have the entire tarot because
they say that because of Keter or something?
Because the ace of swords contains all swords. And so if you have just the four aces, you have the whole thing.
Right. Well, Keter is attached to that, which is probably why they say that, I would imagine.
So the ace is Keter, then. It's the one. It's the top.
Right.
Okay.
This is what it was. So if you work as a mirror with THX 1138 and you add, so 1138 equals 13, right? And then if you double that because it's a mirror, you end up with 26.
26.
Which is Adonai. And then there's the most important and often name of God, Judaism, Tetragrammaton, the four-letter name of God. Tetragrammaton derives from the Greek prefix tetra meaning four and gramma meaning letter. The Tetragrammaton appears 6,828 times. This name is first mentioned in the book of Genesis 2:4, and in English language Bible is traditionally translated as the Lord. Eight is considered the vertical infinity. The Hebrew gematria of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is made up of the Hebrew letters Yud, Ten, He, Five. Anyway, I don't need to read this whole thing. But basically, giving a total in Hebrew gematria of 26. And then Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is the Star of David. And then I have an article here in my last blog explaining why. So you have in the Zohar, this is my own writing, in the Zohar it is indicated that the Kabbalistic tree is ultimately meant to be folded into itself, the supernal triad into the seven lower spherot, with Keter joining to Feret, the crown unifying with the heart, while at the same time the Malkut, the feminine, also joins with Tiferet, the masculine. In alchemy, this is known as the chemical wedding. This is represented by the Tetragrammaton as well. The result of such a shift is the production of the Star of David or the Seal of Solomon. And so this is like if you watch Melancholia, it's kind of weird because, I mean, what are you looking at? But they have this, it centers around this wedding, and I'm not going to spoil it for Alan, but you should watch that soon because you'll get what I'm saying.
Gotcha. I still take this, and this was a recent realization for me, was the idea that the, so M is the 13th letter. So when you say double it, you know, the idea of doubling it to get 26. So now the other thing is that
Mem is the hangman.
Now I'm trying to make you guys a quick image here. Basically, my thing is if you take two M's on their side, I'm creating an image for you in Photoshop right now. What I'm doing is just overlaying the letter M, okay, on top of it. So you take a letter M, rotate it 90 degrees left, take a letter M, rotate it 90 degrees right, and lay them on top of each other. Okay, what you're going to get is the Roman numeral X. So, again, we come to 10, which is perfection. So the idea that, you know, 13 and 13 is 26 is the Tetragrammaton, or M and M is 10 is perfection, brings us back to the Wheel of the Tarot. But, again, just more specifically, the idea of 10 perfection, I think is pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is just a really quick, really, really quick thing that I just whipped up. I'll send you guys.
Let me whip this thing out.
Let me just whip something out here. There you go. Just as a little visual aid.
Whoa, I just a fucking gunshot over here. Somebody just shot a gun.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
shot
so M&M and you...
Blame. Oh,
you
no.
Get... Okay.
Stop.
Well, I know, I'm going back to the idea of the pierced heart, the pierced Isa, the pierced Christ, the pierced, the arrow through the heart. It's all the same thing.
Right. I can't help but keep going back and forth between Contact with Jodie Foster, where they fold the code to form this thing, but it's like the triangle. You end up with the star, right? When they do that, you know what I'm talking about, with the
Yeah.
the rich fucking dude or whatever. Between that and just the idea of what's actually happening with Jupiter and Beyond the Infinite, if you look at the stages of the film in terms of the four worlds of the Tree of Life and the bender, the enfoldment of the tree, and how what that means in terms of like contact, kind of strange.
Absolutely. Again, bender. I love it. So you see this here, what I'm trying to say is the MM is actually 10.
Yes.
Where is it? Oh, there it is. Yes. Totally. Awesome.
So, I mean, you know, make of that what you will, I don't know, but you said the idea that the X, what's interesting to me is you said the X was important to you right now. I mean, basically, the thing that I started to explain about, you know, this 9/11 ISIS Horus thing here is there's also this weird connection to X-Men comics. And I told you I was reading about a comic this morning where it's in the X-Men comics, Magneto has this space station which he calls Avalon. So of course we take and currently we have our space station is called ISIS, and it's mirroring Avalon on Earth. Well, in X-Men comics, it's the other way around. Avalon is the space station, and it's here that Exodus and Holocaust fight each other. Going back to
God,
so it's all like
really
ridiculous. But there's just kind of like a crazy, crazy continual overlap here. And basically, there was this comic back from the mid-1990s, which they called The Age of Apocalypse. And it was basically someone travels back in time, kills Professor X, and it's like how different it would be. It's sort of like a distorted This Is Your Life. With, what is the Jimmy Stewart movie? It's a Wonderful Life. It's like a distorted Wonderful Life, right? So without Professor X, the world, of course, goes to shit. And the world is ruled by this guy named Apocalypse, which, of course, we again take as the unveiling. And in this version, what's fascinating is that in place of the Statue of Liberty is a statue of Apocalypse. And in Apocalypse's first appearance back in, I don't know, like 70s or something, Apocalypse says that he's been, like, around forever, and he says, the ancient Egyptians knew me as Set, and the Indians knew me as Kali, and, like, he goes through all these things that he's always been around, this sort of, like, spirit that's always been there. So if you have that these, in place of where the Statue of Liberty is right now is ISIS, in this version, it's a statue of Set, essentially. And in this story, what happens is that you see the statue of Set, instead of Statue of Liberty, the statue of Set gets its head blown off. Like, they put a bomb in the head and they blow the head off it. So again, we have this idea of,
like, so you have like what is it, call field, what's the horror movie,
Cloverfield.
Which is a trinity if you have the clover. And so you have the Trinity bomb, and you have the everything else you were talking about. So,
so, I mean, you know, make of it what you will. I mean, this is what I'm chasing right now, because it seems to me like what I'm coming up with is this idea that no matter what, you have this, that I went to sleep last night thinking about this X-Men comic, and I woke up this morning realizing that it was actually in the Batman story that Tommy Lee Jones' Two-Face also blows up the head of ISIS. And what I just think is so fascinating is, as I said, in the Egyptian story, as Horus and Set are battling, ISIS ends up getting decapitated. So that you seem to have this sort of commonality, no matter what the story, just, you know, and it's really playing out these archetypes, both fictionally and in real life.
So the thing with the X that was getting me is that the Wheel of Fortune is ruled by Jupiter. Right. Or corresponds to Jupiter. That's the attribution. And so kind of strange. I was looking at the Jupiter Center, which I have a book, The Rabbi's Tarot by Daphne Moore, who she basically got this manuscript by one of Carl Jung's disciples. And he was basically explaining that the Jupiter Center is the seat of the instincts and corresponds to your solar plexus. And so this is where I was looking at the idea of two suns in the sunset, or the two suns, like Tatooine, right? You have, it's the solar center happens to be the Jupiter Center. And so you go into 2010, the year we make contact, and you have these two Jupiter appearing bright like the sun. But what's interesting about that being the seat of the instincts and it being the solar plexus is that the placement of where the solar plexus is in terms of beneath the heart with the where the rib cage meets, you know, is the point. I think we've gone over this before. I have in Donnie Darko, where you can see he can read the future in terms of basically people's seat of instincts, like his father's on the chair and then this. Kind of abyss-like mercurial thing comes out and leads him to the fridge where he gets a beer or whatever, and he's tripping out on it, right? But it's kind of, I don't know, it's interesting to think about Mighty Joe Young getting crushed by this giant wheel which would represent the Jupiter center and his striving towards power, if we consider that that is also an extension of King Kong climbing the Empire State Building. Like, he's going to the ultimate phallic symbol of the city to climb it to reach the highest point, not realizing that in attempting to reach the highest point, he's going to land, it's going to lead to his own downfall, which becomes his death instinct. And the fact that he's trying to get to the tip of this sexual image also brings us back to the pleasure principle being one with the death instinct, which is Kong, which is why he grabs the woman, which, you know, is to basically, and so you have the Shakina's exile being like, and being replaced by the horror of Babylon is kind of like the power taking the ultimate receptivity and kind of like horroring it out and trying to use it, not realizing that that will lead to its own death. Or realizing it and doing it anyway, I guess is the point there.
Side note, this Avalon space station was also called Asteroid M.
Oh, Bait is used as V as well, right? Oh, no, that's Vav. What do you say? Am I missing something? I should know this. Fuck. I think so. I think you pronounce it as a V sometimes. In certain cases. So it's just, I don't know, it's kind of interesting. I was tripping out on the, obviously, if you look at my most recent blog with the Saudi star issue, and how you see this thing occur with Nun, which is the fish, right, and the waters, which is Mem, and the fish hook at Saudi. But then I was joking yesterday about Bait, the Hebrew letter Bait being B, being like the bait on the hook, even though there's no etymological connection, I really don't think, but it was kind of weird, because that's like the magician, right?
Yeah, this is, wasn't this the idea that, so, it's not the star, it's the hook that catches the star, and to put the bait on it, this was Jason Barrera's joke, this is why the Master Mason, yes, the Master Baits.
Uh-huh. Did he say, he was talking about the Hebrew letter bait?
I think he was just talking, no, he was talking about baiting the fish hook.
He would probably be really stoked to catch, if he hadn't already, which he probably has, he's pretty on point, but the Hebrew letter bait being the bait.
Yeah, precisely. Like, I don't know if he made the connection to that letter, but he definitely made the connection that this is, you know, to him this was the idea of a sort of kundalini-raising masturbation.
Yeah, that says it. Master Mason, masturbation, because that's the MM. I'd commented here because he said M&M, and I'm thinking Marilyn Manson, and then I'm just like, you know, Master Mason, pretty classic.
Absolutely,
one.
Absolutely, yeah. So I think that the MM connection is pretty fucking solid. That it ties into all this, and you know. There was a point where, I don't know, I kind of gone back and forth on this. Like, years ago when I first got into all this stuff, like, I saw these, like, weird, like, you know, double M connection, and then I was like, well, it seemed kind of vague, and I moved away from it. And in the more recent months, I mean, it's come back so much that it seems like it's not as vague as I once thought. It's actually a really explicit pattern in this.
Hmm. Yeah, what would that be, 1x1? If you were to turn it the other way, like in this image, you have it straightforward, so you see like the Roman numeral because it's got the tops, but you could almost look at it like 1x1. It's still the inner part of 9-11 if you take the Roman numerals 9-11 and push them together.
I got you. I totally got you.
Weird. Wow. Huh.
Is it the double Taurus too?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Is it the double Taurus too?
You can take it that way. I see an hourglass if you don't.
The hourglass, yeah.
That, if you don't push them together, but you just, like, the way that you represent it here, if you were just to put them over each other without crossing like that, but push them further apart, you have kind of an hourglass, which is a symbol of Saturn, which I was looking at the old Melancholia art piece that is a wood etching. And you have a star off in the distance, and it says Melancholia, and then it's this angel character who's like in a state of melancholy, but he's got the hourglass above his head, and then he's got a magic square behind him, which if you look at it, it's 4x4, which traditionally would be Jupiter, and so it's like Saturn sitting there with his compass. Meanwhile, like Jupiter is going to end up taking over no matter what he does. It's like nothing can save him from his own fate. But the hourglass is a great symbol in terms of Saturn being, it's just a matter of time, Saturn, I'm sorry, you know.
Well, I had taken the Dealey Plaza, which is basically, is the trident, very much the trident. And you see that same shape again in the construction of the World Trade Center. The base of the World Trade Center is covered in tridents. Dealey Plaza, JFK shot, has the trident. And I just sort of doubled it, and to me it really looks like an hourglass. I think it's fascinating. And I apologize if I said this earlier, but what I want to make the point that in the middle there, like I said, the triple underpass is Route 77. I just want to sort of make the point that, again, if 77 is Lieber Oz, right, if for Alistair Crowley, is Lieber 77 was Lieber Oz. So you have right mm-hmm. there 77 on one side, and in theory on the other side of him would be Oswald.
Right, which is, he called it Lieber Oz because of... Well, obviously, the value of the Hebrew letter Oz, but then you have Pan, right? Isn't it Pan in Gematria? Is also in Greek Gematria, isn't it also Oz? Isn't that where that came from, I think? So, weird. Oh, so Madonna's last tour that is just ending in Rome here, and she mooned the crowd, is called the MDNA tour. So you have, like, MDMA. But it's instead of an M, it's an N, and then it's that's Madonna, which is the Virgin, which is, there's your Isis, right? So it's kind of interesting. Like, you wrote twist of DNA strand here, Bill. So it's a simple twist of DNA.
Earlier in the tour, didn't she have like a nipple come out? Which to me is like, you know, again, we have the goddess with the one breast exposed. So she literally is Madonna with the one breast exposed. And then for her to take it to a mooning is pretty funny.
Right. And then also that it's, Titus, Caesar, who ended up basically keeping Rome alive despite its fall through religion, because people are unknowingly worshiping Titus. You know, you give unto Caesar, you know, meanwhile... Give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, give unto God the things that are God. Meanwhile, as far as they're concerned, Caesar is God. So as long as you're giving to Caesar, you are giving to God. He's the son of man, and his father is God, as Vespasian. So you have the son of God taken as literally S-U-N for English. So it's the Titus. And so you, as you've shown, Alan, with 2001 at the beginning, you know, you have this giant tit.
It's the tit offensive.
Of the Milky Way. I like the idea, too, of the animal mother thing in Full Metal Jacket, tying it together with I Am Become Death. And then you have Pink Floyd's Animal Heart Mother, which pictures the cow. And then if you look at the names of the sections of Adam Heart Mother, is you have Mother's Milk is one
of
them.
The cow's teat, and this is my point, is Animal Mother is in Vietnam. So one of the central things of Vietnam is the Tet Offensive. So you literally have the Animal Mother is the mother with the teat who's fighting in the Tet Offensive. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and then also Brahm. So you have the universe itself is Brahma, right, which is a giant cow.
Yeah. Which, and of course, Hathor is the cow. So this is my point, is the this sort of wheel, the Catherine wheel, is, if it's the Hathor wheel, this is the wheel of the cow, of the animal mother.
Right, and so you have Aleph, the Hebrew letter Aleph means ox, right?
Uh-huh,
oxen.
Yes.
And then you have the ox goad, which you attach to the ox to steer it, is Lamed. So the pictograph that relates to Lamed is the ox goad. It's what controls the life breath. Lamed is what's is Lilith, which is wind. And then we're saying restriction. And so you have the life breath, which is the Aleph, which is the ox, and the ox goad as Lamed is controlling the life breath, which is adjustment, by the way.
Jesus.
In the tarot, which is the splitting. She's has the sword. She has the balances, and then she has the split down the middle with the sword. And then the sword is Zion. Zion, the Hebrew letter, but then the Zion point in Hebrew actually is void and is the zero. It's the closest thing to a representation of zero that we have in Hebrew is the Zion point. It's like the eye of the storm.
Yeah, just seeing that as the sort of reins, if you will, of the ox. And of course, we can take reins any number of way. You know, as a reign of royalty, or the reign that controls the ox, or in the case of you know, Pink Floyd, it's the reins control the sheep, the sheeple of Pink Floyd.
Yeah, totally. Of animals. Animals was coming up a lot recently. The album Animals.
That was the song Sheep is what I was kind of trying to reference there.
Did you see the Charlotte's Web thing that I put up?
Oh, yeah.
So that with the sheep with the harmlessly passing your time in the grassland away, only dimly aware of a certain unease in the air. Yeah, you better watch out. There may be dogs about. But then there's the idea that dogs are gods in reverse, right? And the idea that our rulers look at themselves as gods, but really they're dogs because they're fighting over their territory, right? So,
kind like of that.
There's in The Soft Parade, Jim Morrison is saying, calling on the gods, calling on the dogs. You know, got a few animals left out in the yard, and it's getting hard to describe sailors to the underfed. You know, the idea of traveling across the sea and taking these long travels is like inconceivable to people who are just slaving away, trying to get by.
You know, I was reading a biography of Jimi Hendrix, flipping through it the other day, and they mentioned a story about Morrison showing up to a concert and sitting in the front row and saying, hey, how about I come on up there and jam with you, man? And Hendrix just sort of ignored him. And he said, don't you know who I am? It's Jim. It's Jim Morrison. And Hendrix like, I know who you are. He's like, but just continued to ignore him. And, you know, for as much as I've learned about Morrison through your work, David, and how much more I appreciate him now and giving more credit to the vision that he had, because I think that cat saw a shit ton. But I'm trying to reconcile.
Have you heard their jams? Jimi Hendrix playing with Morrison?
I've only heard some of the drunken...
Fucker in the ass?
Yeah. No, it's insanity. But I'm thinking of, you know, Morrison as being a Crowley-type visionary with all his crudeness and all his willingness to be misconstrued and misperceived, because even that can shake people out of inertia. But in comparison to Hendrix, I mean, Hendrix is just a fucking alien, you know what I mean? For how his talent, how he was able to transform his vision into just sheer beauty with his instrument. And I was thinking of Austin Spare and his drawings. I'm sure you're familiar with Austin Spare, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, Austin O'Spare was, he had his own system of magic, which was with Kia and Zoss, and it's it's pretty out there in as far as the literature he put out. But he was an artist, and he used to draw. And his thing was automatic drawing. So, you know, with Crowley in the pyramid, with hearing the voice and channeling, or not channeling, but dictating Iowas with the Book of the Law. But Austin Osperwood, he would draw in the dark, right? He would be in a pitch black room and just put his pen or whatever on the page, and he would just allow it to flow through him, and he would create these drawings of these, whatever you want to interpret it from that standpoint. But it always seemed to me that as far as, you know, that whole idea of practicing magic and knowing magic, it seemed to me that magic and allowing that to pass through you was perfectly represented in these drawings of Spare. I mean, they're phenomenal. There's a video.
I have some of them. I'm looking at them now. I've seen some of these. I mean, he's pretty fucking well known, yeah.
Yeah, so I just think of, like, Hendrix with his guitar being, like, Morrison would have traded in his poetry to be as skilled on the guitar as Hendrix, in a sense. That, just like Crowley, you know, he wanted to be a poet so bad, but his poetry never really is recognized for as much genius as he would like it to have been. Just for the simple fact that, you know, people didn't respond to it like he would have liked it to have been. But every time you see a Spare drawing, one of his drawings, I mean, it grips you in a way that is inexpressible. I mean, there's something in the drawing that is just profoundly other. It seems to come from someplace that is, you know, that you're in the presence of a master. And I don't think that condemns Crowley or Morrison when you say that Spare maybe integrated magic in a way that was higher. Maybe it's poor to use that duality there.
I'd say spare me.
I love the idea that, like, one wants to, it's always like the grass is always greener on the other side. Like, Zali said, Denny, you know, there aren't many who can sing a song the way that you do. Denny said, Zali, golly, don't you think that I could wish I could play guitar like you?
Well, Morrison wanted to play guitar and took guitar lessons at one point and just couldn't do it. You know, he didn't want to do what it would take to, at that point at least, to try and get somewhere with it, you know.
Because, like, you know, those that can do, those that can't teach, well, Crowley seems to kind of fit into that, right? Because his poetry and his artistic output leaves a lot to be desired. You wouldn't necessarily say that from a purely aesthetic standpoint that they are masterpieces, but what they convey, that's another thing. He chose Lady Frieda Harris to execute the Thoth Tarot for a very specific reason. He could probably see and sense what this tarot could be, but he couldn't accomplish it. And it seems to be a failure of his system, as if he should have been able to transform himself into an artist if you take his system at face value.
Mm-hmm.
It's like with the one poet, right? Was it Newberg or whatever? He took some young kid and who wanted to be a poet, and, you know, I think he basically, had sex with him in the desert on a bunch of drugs, and the kid started writing good poetry or something like that. And the whole Abbey of Thelema was to, you would go visit him and train with him or live with him or work with him, and you would set the artist free, that you would tap into your genius, or at least the genius would flow
ride
through
the
you.
The snake is long.
Yeah.
Which is reminding me of the Dune worm, because the only way to free the spice is to ride the worm. And then Chesed has the same gematria as the word for worm, while Jacob of Jacob's ladder, right, in the Tanakh is referred to by Adonai as a worm. And it's kind of weird. It's like, why is he calling Jacob his worm, which sounds like an insult, but it has the same value of Chesed, opposite Gevurah on the Tree of Life. And so there's kind of this interesting idea there, because it's like, if you were going to fold space in terms of the tree? Where do you do it from? Where's your position of power other than chesed? And how do you harness the thing? But by riding it, you yield to overcome. So it's follows, you know, you ride the snake to the lake, the ancient lake. Well, an ancient lake could be dried up, right? It's like an ancient dried up lake bed, you know? So it's like the desert. It's kind of, I was tripping out on that.
To fold space is to open the wormhole?
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah, thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Old deal. Yeah. Because travel without moving. That's the whole Dune idea. Dune is an anagram for nude, right? You basically have to strip the thing bare of levels. I just heard another fucking gunshot. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yep.
Someone's trying to kill the king, man. That's all I could say.
I don't know. I mean, I don't live in New York, I think, or even San Francisco. San Francisco, you hear gunshots a lot more often like that. That was like a boom. And now there's a siren. Followed by a siren.
Well, the siren Weird. Tries to ward you away from your odyssey.
Well, that was coming. That came up in the last blog. Did you see that? Yeah. So I love the Oh Brother Where Art Thou sirens, and then you have the Cyclops, which I didn't show as John Goodman, right? He plays the Cyclops in the film, and so that definitely ties in really well with your Howl idea as Bowman being no man. Kind of strange. Siren is also red and blue, right? Which would correspond to the red and the blue pill and the knights and knaves, red and blue in the labyrinth. And the pen being blue in Liar Liar. And then the idea of the truth being the Aleph and death. Anyways.
In that new movie, Prometheus, one of the production companies is, I think, Dune Entertainment, which definitely just seems to color at least the initial viewing of the film. But I won't do any spoilers, but the worms definitely are part of the film in a specific way. So that's something to look for. Cool. When you see Prometheus. Which I'm interested to see how you guys read that movie if you get a chance to go out and see it. I think Ridley Scott is pretty in touch with all his subject matter, and I don't think it's a straightforward film, obviously, as a lot of reviews are capturing it right now. But you'll have to see it for sure.
So did you guys, I know, Alan, I don't think you did because I already asked you, but Bill, have you seen The Adjustment Bureau?
I haven't. I know of it. I know the story, but I haven't seen it.
Okay. Well, there's the character Elise, and that sent me on a whole thing with Ellis, because I was thinking of LSD, and I was contemplating adjustment as being the split in the major arcana. But then Ellis, I went looking it up, and I found out that it's an alternate spelling of Valis. And that it's a city in Greece where the Olympic Games started was in Elis, which is also known as Valis. And so it was an interesting idea, the carrying the torch being the loop, right? So you have the Valis loop, but it's like an Elis loop, and then you have LSD. It was just there's more to it than that, because that led me to Ella and Helena and all this symbolism, mythological proportion.
Well, I need to see the film because Roger Sterling, who's a character in Mad Men, is featured in The Adjustment Bureau. An actor named John Slattery.
You say Rod Serling?
Roger Sterling.
Oh, weird. It sounds like Twilight Zone.
Well, he's one of the men in hats who is part of The Adjustment Bureau, the actor, John Slattery.
Oh, okay.
But he's the first character in Mad Men to take LSD, it's a really great scene. I thought it was written very, very well, especially how the character responds to it. I'm not sure how that's explicitly connected, but there seems to be something there.
Have you guys ever looked into the fact that in Alice in Wonderland, you know, the Mad Hatter, this is sort of a silly thing, but on the Mad Hatter's hat, it says 10/6.
Yeah, I was totally tripping out on that.
So the idea that the reference is to Old English money, where it goes pounds, shillings, and pennies, which is distinguished as L/L/D.
Really?
Or LSD.
LSD.
You mean,
it's
right?
Literally LSD.
Because Joyce has LSD written in Finnegan's Wake, and it's for the pounds, shillings, pence.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's weird in light of the mercury poisoning thing in the brim of the hats, which is why he's called the Mad Hatter. It's because they say you go insane from mercury.
Okay, so the guy, essentially the Jack Ruby of the Lincoln killing, right? You know, Jack Ruby shoots Oswald. Well, there's a guy who shot John Wilkes Booth. And his name escapes me at the moment, but he was a hatter, and the argument is that he had been driven mad by the poisoning of the dye, just like a lot of hatters. But this guy, he was at some point overwhelmed by a religious conviction, and he cut his dick off, okay, to ensure that he wouldn't be tempted by sexual temptations any longer. He did this before years before he shoots John Wilkes Booth. But considering all these sort of Osiris, you know, phallus severing connections, what's fascinating is the day, the exact day that the guy cuts his dick off, is the exact same day as the Trinity test, the launch of Apollo 11, and the day that JFK Jr. died. All happened on the same day.
Wait a minute, but which Apollo 11?
Yeah.
So that's Ground Control to Major Tom played loud during that test.
What is it?
You know about that? So they, as a tribute,
playing Space Oddity right. at the launch. Yeah, exactly.
Right. That's kind of
weird. Okay, so it's July 16th, okay? July 16th, 1945 is the Trinity experiment. July 16th, 1969, they launch Apollo 11. July 16th, I think it's 1999, is JFK Jr. dies. And July 16th, 1800 something. Let's see. Okay, yeah, July 16th, 1999, JFK Jr. dies. It's also the same day JFK Jr. dies is the day Eyes Wide Shut was released in theaters. July 16th, 1858 is the date that Corbett castrates himself with a pair of scissors, and that's the man who would go
Jesus.
On to shoot John Wilkes Booth.
Is his first name Edward?
Nah.
I have to find it.
If his name is Edward, we can just stop. Cause
well, it's funny because in The Mad Men, so you have Roger Sterling, who's dropping acid, part of the Adjustment Bureau. The other person, his name is Bert Cooper, who it's revealed later on that he was castrated in some terrible accident in the war, but he keeps it from people.
Who is this?
And it's a character in Mad Men, but the advertising agency in which the whole show opens up is Sterling Cooper. So you have, those are the two top guys in that story.
Sorry, the guy's name is Thomas Boston Corbett. Hey, what's the guy in Fifth Element? Corbett Dallas?
Oh, I can't remember, but that's funny in terms of Dallas.
Or is it Corbin Dallas? It's Corbin Dallas. Oh, that's if it was fucking Corbett Dallas, I'd
That would be too much, and we could just stop. hold on, I almost got it. You're probably looking it up too, huh? Bruce Willis, Corbin Dallas. Lilu is Mila Jovovich. Another Lamed Lamed.
Oh, yeah.
All the way. And then she's the missing element, right? It's her. It says it's so, us, but it's...
Bruce Willis is in the Fifth Element, and then he's in the Sixth Sense. Is there any...
Yeah. What's weird, I know I already went into it, with the Sixth Sense being that if you divide up the eye of Horus, there were the different fractions were also represented as the senses, and they have six of them. So that's kind of strange. Huh.
Oh, this.
So Tommy is the name of the president in the Fifth Element.
The Sixth Sense doesn't Judas have something like six pieces of silver or something?
Was it six? Maybe, but you know, if you look closely in Jesus Christ Superstar, when Judas drops the coins before the Roman guards, it's like a little fucking bolt, which is probably a reference to Zeus. But it's interesting because that's the symbol of Antichrist Superstar, is this little lightning symbol, which is supposed to be like fall from heaven, spend a little bit of time on earth, and then go straight to hell, is the way that it was introduced by Anton LaVey. I found it interesting that that's like the coin, you know.
So,
and then he hangs himself and becomes the
clarifies hand. It's 30 pieces of silver. See, I should never try and reference the Bible. I should know my limitations.
No, as long as you qualify it and say, is it? I mean,
no, you're right, because plenty of times, you know, if you, especially in this fucking day and age when you're 5 seconds away from the right answer, usually. Just, and is it? Is complete, is it? Isn't that the mascot?
It's a sin. There's many different definitions of sin. I think there's actually 8 from Hebrew, different versions of sin. But the one that's most commonly used literally translates to missing the mark.
Yeah, that's my favorite, for sure. That's the one I go off of.
Right, but at the same time, it's like nobody's perfect, except for maybe Jesus, apparently. But he died for all of our rest of our missing the mark. He hit the mark, so we wouldn't have to, right? So he's our scapegoat.
You know where well, Oswald that, learned to hit the mark? The United States Marine Corps.
What was the name of his rifle? Yeah. Dolores.
If you said no one's perfect, but in Futurama, God says, if you do it perfect, no one knows.
No one will be sure you've done anything at all. So.
I think today's Always Record was perfect.
Things folks say I've done, I'd be in the ground or somewhere on the run. Take a look before you close the book. Look at the other side of the coin. Yes, there's much in life for which I could atone, but let him without sin cast the first stone. But before you do, there's still one more point of view on the other side of the coin. I'm just a man, sometimes foolish and proud, but oh, too quick sometimes to really play up to the crowd. But before you judge me, if judge you must, take your time, be sure that the verdict is just. Before you do, there's one point of view. Can you stand up and say justice has been done today? Oh, I was wrong, so wrong. Before you see what's going on the other side of the coin. Let them without sin get up and cast the first stone. And before you do, remember there's still one more point of view on the other side of the coin. On the other side of the coin. Oh yeah.